The sale by public auction of two ervin of sacred land on the oldest Muslim cemetery in South Africa was recently cancelled by the Claremont Auction Group. Claremont previously announced that it was instructed by the current title holders to sell two ervin on the historical Tanabaru site located off Long Market Street. The decision came amid increased public pressure by the Tanabaru Trust and the Bulkarp community to stop any selling of sacred burial land. Claremont Director Andrew Koch confirmed that the group cannot proceed with the auction of a property whose ownership is under dispute. Koch indicated that he had discussed the matter with the sellers, a group of heirs from the Muslim community, and advised them to re-engage with residents on the historical and religious significance of the land and its ownership. The land was acquired through a title deed that was ceded to the family by the heirs of Imam Samodin in 1975 and is now legally owned by the Abdullah and Doty family. According to historic records, Imam Samodin was one of four imams who in 1857 purchased the land for burial on behalf of and for the use of the respective congregations. The dispute over the property has now raged on for years and has consequently split the Abdullah Doty family, who has in their possession deeds of two ervin dated to 1975. The future of ervin 681 and 677 now hang in the balance. I recently visited the land in question and was informed about the history of the land by the spokesperson for the Tanabaru Trust, Muhammad Groenevelt.
The land basically was given to the Muslim community in 1807 as an official burial space. Part of the land was also given to the Chinese community. And many imams bought pieces of land for them and for their congregation or jama'ah at the time. And of course, I'm not sure if it was the law at the time that the property must be on the imam's name, as we can see with many of the other properties. Of course, when the imams die, that becomes then part of their estate. And this is basically what we are still sitting with today.
Groenevelt says that while the Muslim Judicial Council declared the Tanabaru Wakaf land in 1973, the heritage status of the land needs to be ratified by the courts.
Technically, we have to look at the law of the country, whether the law of the country and make the Tanabaru a heritage site. A fatwa is a valid document, but again, it needs to then be ratified by courts, processes and so on. I think building on the Tanabaru will really destroy the entire Tanabaru, its heritage and everything that goes with it, as well as those that are buried here. And therefore, whoever wants to develop here, we will make sure that that never takes place. We're already sitting with a piece of land where the Springfield Trust bought a piece of land. When they sent in their application and their papers and their plans to the city rejected it because the city said that you cannot build on this land. We don't want the same situation here, where people pay 20 million for a piece of land and then at the end of the day, they cannot develop the land or build whatever they want to build on the land.
But certain members of the Abdullah family say that Abbas Abdullah Doty had intentions to sell the land. I met with the daughter of Abbas Abdullah Doty, Faiza Manan Ni Abdullah, at the land in question. Land, she says, does not form part of the Tanabaru.
Abbas Abdullah Doty never ever intended to buy this property. He was always saying we must sell that property. And I've got papers to show you all the sellers' names.
An emotional Faiza enlisted her nephew Anwar Abdullah to participate in the interview.
This property belonged to my grandfather. I am the son of Muhammad Salih Abdullah, who was the executor to Abbas Abdullah's estate. But both of them have passed on now.
While the deed of sale is dated to the 11th of December 1975, Anwar says the family has records that they have been paying the rates and taxes of the land and hold in their possession documentation that proved this, dating back to the 1960s.
Look, you must understand that my grandfather, even my father was illiterate, you know. But stories went on from word of mouth, right? And the stories was from my grandfather to my father that they own property in Signal Hill. They've been paying taxes. There's records that goes back to, I think it's 1960, that they were been paying taxes on there already, you know. So we don't know of any documentation that my grandfather left behind or my father left behind, as I said, because they were illiterate. The property that my grandfather inherited and that from his parents was private property. We have nothing to do with the Tana Baru. That is not our issue that we have here today. No. Our issue is our private property that we have. Just our property, which is at the council, is zoned as private property, residential area. The map that we have, it lies adjoining to the Tana Baru. And adjoining means next to, alongside. Okay. I think this is our first or our second time here, you know? We are also shocked because apparently, according to us, our property is private property, you know? And any grave sites that is on there, supposedly supposed to be on the Tana Baru side. So if you look at it, then if it's on our property, it's there illegally.
With questions around why the land has not been sold since Abbas Abdullah Doti acquired the deeds to the two Irvin, Anwar says his grandfather previously had intent to sell the properties.
The issue was that many years ago, I was still very young, my father was still alive that time, where there was talk that they wanted to sell the land, right? And I remember, look, you must remember that our family is not a rich family, right? Half of us lives on the Cape Flats, half of us lives in separate entrances, you know? And way back when my grandfather was alive, there was talk that they were going to sell the property. And I spoke to my daddy, me being very young still, and I asked him, Daddy, what is happening there? No, and he told me, no, Anwar, Obia is going to sell the property, right? And I thought, whoa, we are going to be rich here, lots of money, and that we're going to have our own house and that, you know? And that was a lot of my uncle's and aunt's dreams, you know? Unfortunately, as the paperwork went through, my grandfather picked up that it was going to be bought by a man called Saul Kersner. And look, my grandfather wasn't aware who this man was, so when he inquired who's the Saul Kersner, everybody told him, no, he's the man that owns the casinos and that. And that is when my grandfather put a stop to it. He wasn't prepared to sell the property to people that was going to have casinos and alcohol on the premises and that. It's like almost 5-10 years ago that in the process, you know, because continuously there comes hiccups and stumble blocks in our way and that. Financially settled in the family, you know, we are all struggling. So if you look at it, we're sitting with property that people say is worth a lot of money. Why not try and take advantage of that, that my grandfather and my auntie's daddy left for us to enrich ourselves, that we also can own a piece of property.
While members of the Abdullah family were unable to clearly demarcate the two Irvin in question, they say their intention is not to disturb grave sites. They provided little clarity on where the graves of pioneers of Islam are in fact located on Irvin 681 and 677. However, in my visit to the site with the Tana Baru Trust Muhammad Khrunefeld, I was shown Chinese graves.
This is a Chinese grave that we're sitting at, and as you can see, somebody probably tried to preserve the grave. And this is show you also, if you look at the grave, how people made a shallow grave, packed stones over the body, and of course that became very problematic. And therefore in 1886, the city officials at the time decided to close all grave sites because it then started to become a health risk in the areas. Looked in the past, of course, as a trust, we need to then also uncover other graves that is in this particular area.
According to Khrunefeld, the sale of the land threatens the graves of pioneers of Islam in South Africa, including the grave of Sheikh Abu Bakr Effendi, which he says appears to be seated within the two Irvin in question.
We're standing at another luminary's grave, Abu Bakr Effendi, and we can see here, this is last resting place. He was a scholar from Turkey, and he came as a request from the government at the Cape, which were ruled under the British at the time, to resolve certain conflicts in the Cape. And he was also the founder of the Hanafi School of Thought in Cape Town. He also established a masjid in Long Street, and he also then wrote a very famous book called Bayanuddin that deals with Islamic thought and fiqh and those kind of things. What was unique about this is that he came from outside and he also mastered Afrikaans as a language. He knew many other languages as well. But he also wrote the Bayanuddin in Arabic Afrikaans because at that time that was a lingua franca in Cape Town and the mode of teaching at the time. Abu Bakr Effendi, of course, sadly passed away in 1880 at a very young age of 45. But for the short while I think he was here in Cape Town, he made a huge contribution to the development of Islam at the Cape. And we can see what is also said as we talk about the sale of land at the Tana Baru. what is now in dispute. We can see from this particular, probably from just past this gravesite, probably till about that tree that we see there, and right till the end of the fence and the end of that fence. That is the land that we're talking about. And therefore the argument about people that say, here is no graves here. We can see very clearly as we even walked here, the number of graves that is on this particular burial site where people want to develop and sell land. This show that the Tanabaru itself, part was given to the Chinese community and the rest was given to the Muslim community at the time in the 1800s. And I think it's these kind of structures and grave sites that we want to further preserve for generations to come, because our history must remain in this part of the world, and it's our responsibility to preserve our history. And therefore, it is this history that we need to preserve, and we will fight till the bitter end to preserve the history of our community and our grave sites and our mosques.
With details of the historic sale of the land yet to be clarified, Anwar Abdullah and Faiza Manan Abdullah remain adamant that they will push forward with the sale of Irvin 681 and 677.
You are posing questions to us that we can't answer yet.
The diagram is there. Concerned. Didn't they do the work? Because our papers that we got don't state that it's Wakaf Groen. It's private property. Our hak. What Mr. Truta asked me, our attorney, here's my witness. Who gave you people this property? Do you know this is prime property? Wow, you rich people.
Our land doesn't affect the Tanabaru. It wouldn't be an issue for us, you know? Anybody that sells property, you have the right to do that. And like I said, we are not a rich family. So whatever little money that would come to us would be appreciated and gladly accepted. This is property that comes back from my grandfather's time and even his parents.
Our paper state, it's not Tanabaru, it's Signal Hill. So my point of view of this is, if we get the buyer, we're going to sell it because we don't fall under Tanabaru.
For VOC News, I'm Zakira Desai.